From Marketplace, I'm Molly Wood, in for David Brancaccio. Reports this morning that GM has reached a settlement with the U.S. government over the faulty ignition switches in its cars that killed 124 people. The Justice Department is expected to announce the deal later today. Marketplace's Mark Garrison joins us from New York with more. Mark, what are we expecting from the announcement later on?
GM is expected to pay a penalty of nearly $1 billion in what's called a deferred prosecution deal. The way these kinds of deals work is the company agrees to certain terms, including typically being monitored for a period of time. If they hold up their end of the bargain, the charges are eventually dismissed. Now, the deal would fall short of the historic penalty Toyota got a year and a half ago. That was a $1.2 billion fine. And it appears there won't be any GM employees charged. Like a lot of these recent cases, the government's punishing the company as a whole, but not really nailing any particular person.
And that's been a big issue, one that people are not likely to be happy with, right? This idea of holding people accountable and not just companies.
Yeah, as word is getting out, you're seeing crash victims, safety advocates criticizing the government for this, saying people died, somebody should go to prison. This also came up with bank settlements after the crisis. The way it typically worked was the company paid a big fine, they got back to work, prosecutors got to claim victory, but nobody went to jail. The Justice Department has taken a lot of criticism for these kind of deals, and earlier this month it said going forward, the rules will be different. If the companies want to make deals, they're going to have to cough up evidence on employees. That's going to be the policy, but it does not appear to be what's happening here in this GM case right now.
That's Marketplace's Mark Garrison. Thanks a lot, Mark.
You're welcome.
And with that, let's do the numbers. European stocks are mixed. In London, the FTSE 100 is down 0.3%. Germany's DAX is up about 0.2%. And the CAC 40 in Paris is flat. China's Shanghai Composite Index is back in the red after gains yesterday. It's down 2%. Remember the foreclosure crisis back in 2009 and 2010 when the housing bust was at its peak? As many as 200,000 homeowners a month were falling into foreclosure. Fast forward to today, we just got the foreclosure numbers for August, and they're down below 50,000, levels we haven't seen since 2005. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
New foreclosure numbers are low now, mainly because lending standards got so tight after the crash. You can't hardly get a mortgage these days without steady income and some down payment. But in the last year, there's also been a steep rise in bank repossessions. That's the properties banks seize in foreclosure and then sell. A sign of trouble? Not really, says RealtyTrack economist Darren Bloomquist.
They are much more likely to be linked to loans from several years ago that went bad. The homeowner has been in trouble, probably in the foreclosure process, for years.
Bloomquist says some of these houses are in bad shape in neighborhoods that never recovered from the crash.
So they're kind of the bottom of the barrel homes that the banks waited the longest to foreclose on and now are kind of clearing the decks.
This influx of cheap bank-owned properties could help home buyers, at least those willing to take a risk on a foreclosed property. In many cities now, buyers face a tight market with few homes for sale and bidding wars for the best ones. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We've been hearing a lot lately about the volatile stock market, high-frequency trading, and uncertainty about the future. But according to a survey out today, that's not scaring off individual investors. I spoke with Cindy Fornelli, Executive Director for the Center for Audit Quality. It conducted the survey. Cindy, good to have you here.
It's my pleasure to be here, Molly.
Let's start by talking about the study. You looked at the confidence that we have as investors in both our domestic markets and abroad. What did you find?
We looked at Main Street investors, to be specific. So these are the men and women on the street that form the backbone of our economy. And we found that they are, in general, very confident in U.S. capital markets and the players that make up our capital markets. So that was very gratifying news to us.
It is. And to be honest, a little bit surprising. There's been so much tumult. There have been stories about things like high-frequency trading, questions about whether Main Street investors really have a fair shot in the market, and yet they still seem confident. What do you think accounts for that?
Well, we asked them that specific question because we too are curious as to why they have that confidence. They believe that capitalism works. They think that our system is strong, and also their personal experiences with their individual investment. We asked those people that did not have confidence in our markets and partisan bickering, politics, were the number one reasons, which I thought was an interesting survey finding, as we're more and more hearing about the election coming up next year.
Let's talk a little bit about millennials, because they were surveyed specifically. And one of the questions you asked was, what would you do if you were given $10,000? It sounds like millennials had a somewhat surprising answer than other groups in your survey.
The answers were the same for millennials as they were for the investors in general, except in millennial investors would pay down debt such as student loans. They are also much more attuned to the emerging risks of cybersecurity, both to their personal information as well as to the financial markets, much more so than the general population, which I thought was really interesting.
Cindy Fornelli from the Center for Audit Quality, thank you so much.
Thank you, Molly.
Also this morning, there is word that Cablevision will sell itself to a European telecom giant called Altice. That's a deal that is valued at $17.7 billion. Regulators are likely to be paying a lot of attention. The combined company would become one of the biggest cable companies in the U.S. Cablevision shares were up 4.5% in pre-market trading. From the studios at Montclair University, while our New York bureau gets an overhaul, I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.